is up, everybody, and welcome to Tailgate Talks. We are powered by The Nation. You're listening to episode 216. Today is Sunday, March 10th, recording after the Texas Tech and Texas baseball series has wrapped up. We'll get into that. Texas Tech basketball regular season has wrapped up. We will get into that. Big 12 conference tournament on the way, so lots to discuss today. And to catch everything we are doing here at Tailgate Talks as March Madness is upon us and Texas Tech baseball season is under full swing, so we'll be doing all that. To follow us on Apple, follow us on Spotify, give us those five stars for the Tailgate. If you listen to us on Apple, you can always leave us a review there. We always appreciate those. Also, follow us on social media. We are on Twitter at @tailgate_talks. That's where we do most of our posting and are interacting with people. So give us a follow there. We do have Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And lastly, if you have anything for us to discuss on the show, if you have any comments, questions, anything you'd like to hear us discuss on the Tailgate, you can always email us at tailgatetalkspod@gmail.com. So with all of that said, let's go ahead and get into Texas Tech basketball.
We're going to start this thing off right. Raider! Man, I've been waiting all my life to do that.
Well, the regular season for Texas Tech basketball under Grant McCaslin in his first year is complete. The season ended yesterday, Saturday, with a win over the Baylor Bears. The Red Raiders finishing the regular season 22-9 in Grant's first season. Dustin, after what was a pretty tumultuous season last year, Grant McCaslin coming in with, you know, a lot of supporters, but also some people who are skeptics. What does this 22-win season for Grant McCaslin mean to you and to this Texas Tech basketball program?
Yeah, that's a good intro for it because, yeah, he had a lot of, you know, long-term expectations, I would say, with the support.
Yeah.
But he vastly exceeded this year's expectations. I mean, we were aiming for 500 and a tournament appearance and be satisfied with that, and that was it. We didn't have much of a roster when he got here. And he did a great job in the portal with that, making those additions. And, you know, one of them, starter, got hurt and didn't play any conference, you know.
Yeah.
And then your other big man's been out for second half of the conference games. So you haven't had a full roster anyways and still fought through things and made adjustments and figured out ways to win, which was fun to see. Frustrating at times, but fun to see.
Yeah.
Like, he's not stuck in his ways of, like, at North Texas, he was a super defensive guy. And now, you know, we're a almost 80 points a game type team. Still want to play a lot of good defense, but know that it's not a end all be all to if a team scores over 60, you know. It's like, I love the adjustments that he's made as well. And it already has me looking forward to next year and building on this. Cause that's the thing, is like, he took a dumpster on fire rolling down the hill and stopped it and created it into something, you know, that wants to be cherished and people want to come join and play with. And so to go from, what did we win, 5 games in conference last year?
Yeah. Or 16 and
16. Real bad. And now we're tied for third at the end of regular season. Like, holy, and finished better than teams like Kansas. Like, wow. And Texas, like, great, great season, especially from what the expectations were.
Yeah, I think a lot of us, you know, we just make the tournament was kind of
– right.
And if – we don't make the tournament, it's not that big a deal. It's year one. Last year was such a bad year that you just kind of wanted to see progression in the right direction. And then, you know, Adams left us with kind of nothing on the roster. You lost a lot of pieces. You were able to keep some important ones, but then you really had to go find some portal guys, and he found the right guys for the program. And, you know, the non-conference season, you know, I wasn't really sure how to feel about this team there. You know, you had some losses that you thought you could have won. You lost Evan Cambridge, like you said, and I think a lot of our expectations kind of went to, I don't know if we'll make the tournament without Cambridge, who had been one of your best players. Then all of a sudden, Kerwin Walton comes along as one of the most efficient players in all of college basketball, and this team just kind of changes and ends up having a successful start at Big 12. You know, we had some bumps along the way, but ultimately, just what a winning first season this is for Coach McCaslin, kind of to prove the naysayers wrong, the people who were thinking, oh, he's just another Matt Wells, just for basketball. Like, he kind of put all those guys to rest with this season, and now the expectations just kind of grow from here because you have a lot of pieces that you can bring back next year. Now you're going to have a lot more options in the transfer portal. Because players can see, oh, I can go win there with Grant McCaslin. And so it just sets this program back on track. Like you said, after last year, it got completely derailed. And you and me both, we were afraid heading into this kind of unknown with Grant McCaslin. And is this going to stay afloat? Like, is this program going to go back into the dumps where it kind of was back, you know, early 2010s? Or are we going to be able to continue winning? And he's come in and proved that he's a winner, that this basketball program is going to continue to have success with him here. And so super impressive year. And like you said, you've dealt with so much adversity this year to win 22 games while losing Devin Cambridge, not having Warren Washington, having guys like Emily Elahu and Robert Jennings who are having to kind of learn on the fly here, and to be able to do that, mighty impressive. Big fan of McCaslin and what he's brought to this program. Excited to see what March looks like for him in his first trip with the Red Raiders to the NCAA tournament coming up. But before that, we got to recap some of the games that happened since the last time we spoke to you. Last time we were headed to West Virginia. Dustin, we weren't feeling very good about ourselves as we were heading to West Virginia, as we just got our ass handed to us by Texas. And the start of the game was not great either. I think the panic meter was at its all-time high this season as West Virginia jumped out to a 20-4 start, not feeling very good about yourselves at this point, kind of thinking, are we playing ourselves out of the NCAA tournament? And then all of a sudden, Texas Tech starts playing basketball the way you've seen them play the basketball for the majority of this season. Joe Toussaint and his return to West Virginia kind of takes over, leads this Texas Tech team, and then all of a sudden you cruise to an 81-70 victory. To get the win over West Virginia at that point, get your ninth win of conference play, basically secure your tournament bid at that point. Dustin, your thoughts on this kind of crazy West Virginia win where the emotions were kind of all over the place with this one?
Yeah, it's another one of those I don't know how we won type games. We've had a handful of those this year. But apparently it's Joe Toussaint loves playing Texas Tech at West Virginia games. Because this was where he went off on us last year and has another good one against his former team. And he had to be down, you know, 16 super early. There was no fight in this team. And to win by more than 10 was incredible. I think it just really showed you crack down on defense and quit letting them get some easy stuff. They also went away from their big man, I thought, way too much. He was killing us. It was way too easy for him. And so, whatever, that's not my problem. I don't think that coach will be there very long anyways. Great all-around game. Darian had another solid game for you. He's been your rock through conference play. It's been amazing to watch him. Great team. That was a great team win, really. On the back of Joe.
Yeah, you needed it. You needed to get the win, needed to get back into the win column, just kind of feel, all right, we can win after, you know, you had pretty rough outings. Joe, yeah, like you said, seems to love these road games when he's playing either West Virginia or playing Texas Tech. He, you know, 21 points on 9 of 17 shooting, 7 assists, 3 steals. He was doing it all for you, really got you back in the game. like you said, Darian Williams, just kind of just Mr. Consistency right here, and efficiency, whatever you want to throw at him. He's just 17 points, 9 rebounds. I was typing out the stats from these last three games, and they're all like yep. that. And so, you know, just another impressive performance from him. This was a good game for Chance. Chance got kind of back. His shot hadn't been falling. He makes 5 threes, has 19 points for you. So that was a welcome sight to see, as he's been, you know, your sixth man you really rely on to get you some buckets. And so it's nice to see him hitting threes again. Just nice to see this team fight and come back and be the team that you've seen play for the majority of this Big 12 conference season. It's like we said, you know, we've lost some games, but you've always saw this team fight in those games. And the UCF and Texas games really felt like you were watching a different team. This was the team I was used to watching. So it was good to see them get back in the win column, get a win on the road. That was the other part about this. It was on the road. You weren't very confident in how you're going to play on the road. You had two road games against the two worst teams in conference play, and you got one. And then you followed that up with another road dub, where this time Oklahoma State in Stillwater, where you haven't won in quite a while. 2019 was the last time you won there. Another place you just don't play very good. And this time you were dominant start to finish, 75-58. You led the entire game, started the game with a three, and you never looked back from that moment on. Dustin, your thoughts on the impressive start to finish win over the Oklahoma State Cowboys?
Yeah, this is the team I wanted to see in West Virginia after our ass kicking of the game before. Yeah,
exactly.
But I'm glad they kept it rolling from that West Virginia second half and just dominated Oklahoma State. I mean, it wasn't even close.
I think the closest it got was like 14 points at one point, and then after that, you just were just like, nope,
you're not. Yeah, I remember like you were deep into the first half and they still had like 9 points. It was just awful from their side. So it's nice to handle a team like that. And two of your three most complete games were against Oklahoma State, which they're the worst team in the Big 12, but it's good to see you perform way above their level and keep it maintained throughout the whole game, because that's a big problem for us and this whole year is consistency throughout a 40-minute game, you know. So it's nice to see that. Even with Warren out again, he stayed out the rest of the season, as we know. But we handled their big men, and you know, that one was an easy close out and get out of town game.
Yeah, like you said, one of the things we've kind of been worried about is, are we going to play to your competition level? It's something that feels like we have been doing. And so it was just nice to see us lay the smackdown on a team that, you know, you're clearly better than, you know, is what we wanted to see versus West Virginia. You saw it luckily in the second half for them, but the whole game against Oklahoma State, a game that should have never been a game you had to sweat, and you didn't. You didn't have to sweat this one out. It was a enjoyable game to watch, which you haven't had a lot of just straight up enjoyable games to watch this season. A lot of them have been super stressful, even this last game that we'll talk about. I just thought it was an impressive road performance, got you to 10 conference wins, and then set you up, because you know you had some possibilities here. And if you lost that game, the double bye would have been extremely hard for you to get at that point. And so you needed to get that win, and you kind of come into the last game with some house money. And so really good performance. Pop, 19 points, 7-11 from the field. 5 assists to go along with it. Nice to see him have a super efficient shooting game. He hasn't had a whole lot of those. He's had games where he's had a lot of points, just not super efficient with his shots. But again, Darian Williams, 18 points, 9 boards. He had 17-9 versus West Virginia, 18-9. Versus Oklahoma State. Mr. Consistency, yep. Mr. Efficiency, 8-for-12 from shooting. He was 2-for-3 from three. This guy's just pretty amazing with how consistent he is as a player and how he's really just become your best player. Him and Pop, I think, are your two best players, and we'll get into them a little bit more here in the Baylor game. Chance, another solid shooting game, 3-of-6 from three, 14 points for him. Joe, you know, his stats might not show it. I thought he was really good in this game for you. 8.6 assists, 5 steals. Defensively, he was all over the place for you with those 5 steals. We kind of went to this little, like, free safety play with him where, You know, we didn't have kind of the size to go up against some of their big guys. So he was just kind of going in when they throw a lob pass, and he was getting so many steals that way. It was really fun to watch. And so two road wins to end the season against the worst teams in conference, things you had to do, get you kind of back on track. And then you close out the season with Baylor coming to town, a red out. We did a little doubleheader yesterday. We went to Tech baseball, then went over for the basketball game. The crowd was good. Spring break was there, so the students weren't as full, but it was still a really well-attended game, and the Red Raiders finished the year and the home stretch this season with a 78-68 victory over the number 11th ranked Baylor Bears. And Scott Drew McCaslin gets his first win over his former employer in Scott Drew, so that was nice to see. And the Red Raiders finish the Big 12 regular season tied for third with Baylor with an 11-7 record. So Dustin, we were there yesterday afternoon, and what was a fun game. Your thoughts on the win over the Baylor Bears?
Yeah, this is more like the team you wanted to see more consistently throughout the year. Like, that first half was amazing. Yes. Like, that's the team we wanted to see. Like, good defense, solid on offense, like easily scored 40 points in that first half, even with their officiating situation, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But, like, especially against a, you know, Baylor team that's way more experienced and ranked better than you throughout the whole year, and you dominate them. I mean, they used, what, two timeouts in the first 4 minutes because they couldn't do anything.
He had used two of their timeouts before we made it to the under 16.
Right. That second one was the extension to the under 16. It's like a 15-48, I remember now. Because they had like 2 and 4 points at those points. They couldn't do anything. And you kept them way off in the distance for a while. They had gone a stretch where officiating took over a little bit. And you also had only scored 13 points in the second half throughout the first, I don't know, 8 or so minutes. So you weren't playing good either.
Yeah.
To compound with the officiating, they had the 4-point play double possession in there. Thanks to that, you know, closed the gap really easily and actually took the lead by 1 point in there. And then something Grant McCaslin's done a lot this year really well is using his timeouts to stop momentum, get things back on track, straighten his guys up, because he was getting after him in that huddle it flipped the switch and boom, we were right back to the first half team not long after that. So like the quick adjustment there to get things back on track and was great. And then like the stretch was like from the under 4 on, where I think we went like 7 of 9 down the stretch and they couldn't hit, and you made multiple threes in a row.
Yeah, we hit like 4 straight 3s.
Yeah, I remember Darian hit one, Pop hit one, Kerwin hit back-to-backs. Really got the place going with those.
It was loud.
He caught the second one before he even shot. I said, oh, that's in. And it damn sure was.
We had the perfect seats to see that go in, too, because we were just right on that angle where you could see.
The yep, that's in. Yeah, that's money. And, like, that's the thing about Kerwin. He had, like, nothing all game. And then, man, you give him a foot too much space, he'll pop one and get hot, and then we start getting in transition, and oh, there he is again, bam, there he is again, bam. And, of course, Darian did everything for you. He was a rebounding machine. RJ actually was not a traffic cone during this game. He played really tough and well and rebounded awesome. I think I remember you were up on them like by 10 in rebounding in the first half and ended that way in the game. Like, that was a huge difference in that first half, was just your toughness in rebounding there. So, like, that was great to see. Emily Yahoo played well, too. Like, our backup big men playing really well and tough as well. So, like, this is one of those, like, all-around good games from everybody.
Yeah, I agree. I thought everybody played pretty well in their minutes. You mentioned Yahoo, 7 points. Robert Jennings, 8 points. Jennings, 7 rebounds. Yahoo only had 3. But, you know, I thought Jennings played came out and was a big reason that you got the start that you did. He was creating extra possessions for you with some offensive rebounding, getting the ball back out there. He had a nice and one and made the free throw. I thought this was definitely his best game as a Red Raider, like the most kind of
probably so.
I really thought I've seen from him. You know, Yalahu still has some things to learn, but I thought he had a pretty solid performance. Not really good from the free throw line. That's one thing you would like him to clean that up a little bit, but you got great performances from them. But like you said, this was the start that you've been wanting to see from this team. So many games, it feels like you kind of get off to these slow starts, and then you kind of let the other team take control before you really get into the game. You came out firing.
Yes.
You know, you were making threes. You were making shots. You're getting to the basket. It wasn't just like settling for threes. It was getting to the basket, creating havoc on the Baylor defense, getting open looks, making those open looks, getting to the free throw line. You just started the game so well. You played such a great first half, that 40-27 at the end of the first half, and then you came out at the gates kind of slow in the second half. You had three straight turnovers to start the second half. Grant calls a timeout, and then you're kind of rolling at that point. It felt like, oh, you were going to keep him from a distance, but then the officiating really became kind of one of the stories of the game there for a stretch. Pop and Darian had three fouls in the first half, and I would argue that two of their fouls on both were pretty questionable calls. And then they come out and they get their fourth foul each, like pretty early in the second half. And so you have this double digit lead, and they both have to come off the court because they both have four fouls. And at that point, you're just holding on for dear life, hoping that you can hold this lead for when they are able to come back onto the court with about 7 minutes or 6 minutes left. And that's where Baylor was chipping away, getting some more, you know, helpful foul calls to get him to the free throw line. And that's when they come back and make it a game. Darian Williams pop return. And that's when they put the game away. So kind of a crazy second half. What was your thoughts on the officiating there? That kind of put us in that situation where you're having to play Lamar, you're having to play Yalahu. You didn't have a lot of offense on the court. It was really just kind of the Joe show. Let's start off talking about that kind of officiating stuff that's going on there.
Yeah, you had to run through that 3 minute stretch with Joe, Chance, Kerwin, Lamar, and Emily out there. And we were just like, oh, just hang on till around the 5 or 6 minute mark. And they did enough to get through it. But yeah, like the refs came out of the locker. I mean, even before the halftime, like, they just started calling a lot of super soft stuff and or stuff that like didn't affect the actual play. Like that's how Pop got one of his like little shove on a made basket. Like
you can, Darian got his fourth on a guy just flopping like really bad.
Yeah. And Pop got one of his on a reach in tie up and they called it push on him somehow.
Yeah.
Like, the refs weren't seeing things and just calling whatever it felt like. And like any little touch was a lot of fouls. And it was like, it was bad basketball to watch because of them. Like you had a couple stretches. There were like 4 or 5 in a row. You had whistles on each end of the court. They were consistent at it, at least.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was bad. It was like, you don't want to watch that basketball. You don't want to play that basketball. At one point we saw Pop on the big video board mouth to a teammate saying the lady ref was freaking awful.
Yeah, the PG version.
And I thought he did a great job of keeping himself composed because, you know, he's pretty emotional and lets his emotions show. And he kind of just was like, I can't do anything about it, and just played the game, you know, instead of trying to play with the refs, just ignore them basically. It's like, looking back, I thought he did a really good job keeping himself composed and in the game that way mentally and emotionally.
I mean, I thought the whole team kind of did, because there's a lot of moments that were frustrating that, you know, Grant could have got a T, anybody could have got a T for complaining, because, you know, the refs like took control there at the start of the second half, where there was at one point both teams had 7 fouls. And we were barely at the 12 minute mark. We saw it.
Yeah, it was awful. But like, yep. I kept saying, like, the refs dug themselves in a hole throughout that middle of the game of calling all this soft stuff. Like, they had to keep calling it. Mm-hmm. It was like, that's stupid. Like, lady ref, she's been there for a few years. I'm not sure about the other two. Like, she's awful. The other guys were not good either. Like, and this was your second best game in the conference. I'd say Houston, Kansas, obviously, is a bigger premier game. They can have a better crew. That's fine. But after that, this is your second best game, and that's the crew you put out there?
Yeah. It was a pretty embarrassing performance by them. I just thought, like you said, they kind of lost control. They were calling such ticky-tack stuff that they were, you know, the one thing I'll say is they were calling it both sides, but man, it made it such a struggle to watch the game because it was just stop every possession, stop foul, stop foul, stop foul. Like, there should never be a point in the game where you have 14 fouls and 8 minutes played. Like, that was, it was stupid. And then all of a sudden we get to the end of the game and they foul. And I think there's under 4 minutes or 3 minutes. And that's when they hit the double bonus. It's like, okay, so they fouled 7 times in the first 8 minutes of the second half. And then they didn't get to their 10th foul until like 3 minutes left in the game. So like at one point they decided to stop calling things. I thought there was a lot of stuff that was contact that they had been calling fouls on that all of a sudden they weren't. And so maybe they had a conversation where like, all right, we're calling too much stuff. Maybe they had that conversation because it was really bad there. And then, you know, the bad part of it for us was that it was on our best players. Meanwhile, Baylor, like some of their big guys were in foul trouble, but like their best players, their guards never really got into foul trouble. Meanwhile, Darian Williams and Pop, who are the two best players on your roster, are the ones that are getting those awful foul calls, and then they're having to sit the bench. And so it was a real struggle there. But now let's talk about, you know, Baylor takes a 1-point lead. And then from that point on, you go on, you know, you hit 4 straight 3s, take over the game, and effectively pretty much just run Baylor out of the gym from that point on. What were your thoughts on that little closing stretch there with the Pop 3, Darian 3, and then those back-to-back Kerwin 3s that we talked about a little bit earlier?
Yeah, that was, you know, right after we kind of weathered the storm of, all right, super foul trouble, they're chipping away. We don't have a great team on the floor. Right. And I think we had a timeout in there to really lock in on what we're going to do down the stretch of this game. And the shots are just falling. I mean, Darian's 3-point shot is so nice. It's been great, so especially the second half of this season. He hits that.
I think I seen he's shooting like 52% from three in Big 12 play.
Yeah. That's like crazy. Like, and that's our four. Like, he hit that kind of, they're the weird screen situation, and he just kind of hit a step back to get it going. Pop hit one coming down, and then you had the back-to-back Kerwins, and those two just made you explode because everybody loves when he gets one up because you just know it's in. And it literally went from a very close game to, oh, we're back up by 11 real fucking quick. Yeah, and you got the fans back in it too. And we don't have 7,000 fans in there like Baylor does. We were 15,000 deep even on spring break for the students, and it got real loud on all those threes.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. When Kerwin hit that second, it was loud in the USA. And that was the point you're like, all right, this game's done. There was like about, there's a little under 2 minutes left or so when he hit that three. They hit a three to kind of quiet the crowd. And then you come right back down. Darian gets an and one lead, goes right back up. And at that point, you kind of controlled it. I just thought it was really impressive. This isn't a team that you've really seen kind of put on a kill shot.
Like, no,
that.
Just kind exactly. Of
like, oh, this game's over. And it was like Baylor grabbed that lead. And at that point, you're like, uh-oh, like, are you going to let this slip and fall through your hands? It was their first lead since the first bucket of the game. And, yeah, all right, what do we got? What kind of team we got? Home crowd? Are you going to let Baylor steal this one?
Great way to end the season and finish that out for the fans and those couple seniors.
Yeah. And if anything tells you about who your best two players are, Pop and Darian, get onto the court and – game was a wrap. Yeah. You know, they're the guys who led you. Pop hits the first three. Darian hits the second. Pretty sure Darian was the guy who assisted Kerwin on his three. I think Darian got the rebound or steal that started the fast break that got Kerwin to his next three. Then, of course, we had Darian with an and one later on. And so those two guys were just mightily impressive for you in that stretch. You needed them to come back on the court. They didn't foul. They didn't foul out. You needed them to be smart, and that's exactly what they did. Some stats for you. Pop Isaacs finishes his season with a 20 piece against Baylor. You know, it's not super efficient shooting game for him in this one, but, you know, you took the 20 points. He started off the game pretty hot. After that, he kind of cooled down a little bit, but, you know, that three that he hit was huge, got you the lead right after Baylor took it. So, you know, appreciate his performance in that one. And then Darian, again, 16 points, 11 boards. Just his stats are 17, 18, 16, just consistent right around there. Had the huge three. 11 boards for you in a game where you said you won the rebounding battle by 10 against Baylor, who's one of the best rebounding teams in the country. Joe, 8 points, 4 assists for you on senior night for him. I thought he was really good, especially at the start of the game, getting to spots, getting players open. He had some great passes. He was the one who made the pass to Darian to get him that and one, which was like just a great find by him. Rob Jennings, as we said, 8 points, 7 boards, really big game for him. He fouled out, unfortunately, but I thought he gave you great minutes. Chance, 11 points again, another double digit performance from him. So everybody chipped in. Your last thoughts on Joe Toussaint here as a senior night? We didn't get to see Warren Washington. He was pretty emotional. But yeah, your thoughts on Joe and Warren Washington on senior night.
Yeah, I'm glad they got recognized. They were a big part of this rebuild for Coach McCaslin. Like, Joe especially was like the last addition that we got. Mm-hmm. He kind of got in the portal a little later, but we weren't sure if we needed another guard. We kind of wanted another big man, but we got Joe, and it was like, once you started playing, it's like, that's like the toughness we need and the point guard we need, especially like to get Pop off the ball a little bit, like the toughness and experience and whatnot. That's what we needed for this team in Grant's first year. And so that was a great pickup. He had a really good year. I know we get frustrated with him sometimes with his erratic dribbling and behavior and body flailing, but he's a pretty tough dude and really good defender. That's the attitude we needed coming into this year. And Warren, that was tough to watch him come out. I really love that he was so emotional because, like, you know, we've had a lot of good guys, transfers come through here in 1 year, and they're like, damn, I wish I was here for more years. And, you know, I think that's what he was feeling in that moment, especially not getting to play the last game, the last handful of games in this. So it's tough for him. I just hope we get to see him back and playing a couple more games for us.
Yeah, I felt real bad for him when he, you know, he came out and he had his head down. You could tell he was, you know, super emotional. Saw the tears coming down. Felt real bad. You know, you want to see him be able to play, but I know the goal isn't for him to play against Baylor and help us get that win. It's we're gonna need him in March and whatever kind of form we can get him. Just having that extra body is going to be super big for us, so we need to get him healthy. And you know, when he was at 100% at his peak, this was a really good basketball team. You know, when we started conference play with him super healthy, like, this was when you were playing your best, you needed him. And so appreciate him, and know it's got to be really hard to be going through what he's going through. Hopefully we get to see him back on the court for us before the end of the season. And then, like you said, Joe is just kind of the perfect fit for this team. A leader, a guy who's been through a lot of battles, been through a lot of Big 12 conference battles, a guy that you needed to just kind of set the tone for this team. And there's so many games where it might not show in the stat sheet, but his toughness, you know, our motto, the toughest teams wins, he kind of exemplifies that in how he plays. And so, yeah, like you said, there's some frustrating moments with him, but he's always a guy that you want on your side going into the battle. And so appreciative of their seasons. It's, you know, like you said, it's always tough to get these guys that you kind of fall in love with over a season and know that, man, I wish you could have had you longer. These are both guys that I would have loved to seeing Red Raider uniforms for longer, but we're appreciative of getting this one season with them, and it was an important season. And so that's the other cool thing, is it's year one, and they'll be remembered for kind of setting the tone with Grant McCaslin and this coaching staff. And so excited to see what they can do in the postseason. Excited to see what Joe can do, and hopefully Warren can get back on the court and be healthy for a potential March run for us. But before we wrap up basketball, the Big 12 tournament is officially set. The Red Raiders will be the fourth seed, so we get now a double bye with 14 teams in the conference. It was something that you really needed, was to get to that double bye, because you need to rest your guys. You need Warren to get healthy. You need your guys to stay healthy and not have to play, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or however long you can make this run. And so having that rest, getting these guys extra practice time is going to be nice. The way the tournament sets up, you will play the winner of BYU, who plays the winner of UCF and Oklahoma State. So there's three possibilities of teams that you might face there. But Dustin, the Big 12 tournament, Grant McCaslin and the Red Raiders' first chance to go to Kansas City in this 14-team edition of the Big 12. What are your thoughts on this Big 12 tournament, and what do you want to see from the Red Raiders this next week?
Yeah, one, I love the tournament bracket structure with the top four seeds getting double byes. You got most of the teams in that second round and a couple opening round games. And, yeah, getting the double bye was huge. I was really in on it. Big 12 tournaments, you're playing every day. There's not, you know, 2-3 days off like regular season. So, like, to go already advanced to Thursday is great. And now your maximum amount of games is three games, you know, if you're up there that long. So, and you get a team coming off at least one game, maybe two, in your matchup. And you're – you know, Warren's foot status, you know, a couple extra days might help that. And he might be able to play. Maybe, maybe not. We might be saving him for the real tournament. But love that we ended up with that 3 or 4 seed. Thank you to Kansas not showing up to Houston, mostly, for that seeding. The matchup.
I don't think it would have mattered anyway. I think if they would have won.
Well, we won and took care of business. So,
yeah.
That was the first point. But, yeah. It was already set before our game started. But, like, obviously I would love to play Oklahoma State because we played great against them. But they're so awful that I doubt they win their opening game. So I'm sure it's like BYU-UCF. BYU, really tricky offense to play against. We saw that here in Lubbock. Now, I don't think Khalifa will have the game of his life again. Like he did here.
I don't know. I don't know.
Big wreck, dude. But UCF also gave us a lot of problems this year. So, like, I'm not excited about who we're going to play Thursday morning.
Yeah, and UCF has kind of been playing some pretty good basketball as of late. They beat TCU at TCU. They, you know, gave Houston fits, beat us, of course. And so, yeah, you know, I don't really know what I want to see this week. You know, I obviously want to stay healthy. I don't know how important getting a win is here. Like, how much is that going to impact your seeding? If you beat BYU, does that get you up to a 6 seed, which, you know, I would prefer being a higher seed. Obviously, I think you want to solidify being a 6 or 7. I don't really want to fall in that 8-9 line, you know, and have to beat a team that's pretty comparable to you and then turn around and play probably a 1 seed. And so I think it is important to try to solidify that 7, maybe get up to a 6, you know, and kind of see what you can do there. And so BYU does make me nervous. Like you said, such a good, potent offense that can just, if they're hitting threes, we saw what both sides of that team are like when they're hitting threes in the first half. When we played them, they're incredible. When they're not hitting threes, like they were in the second half against us, they're a team that you can beat. And so, that's why it kind of makes me nervous, is if they're just having one of those good shooting days, it could be a quick trip in to KC. But obviously you have gotten better, and maybe there's some you know, blessing in disguise that you've been without Warren, and you've kind of had to get Robert Jennings, and you've had to get Yalahu some minutes here. It's in, and they've grown up a little bit as the season's gone on, and now they're actually guys that you can play and kind of trust in certain ways. And they have experience. It's not like you're throwing a Yalahu like you were a few weeks ago out there and he hadn't played in I don't know how many games now. And so maybe that's a blessing in disguise. Maybe you can make a run here. You know, it's obviously going to be tough. You would either have to beat BYU, UCF, two teams are giving you problems.
And then
and turn around and probably have to play.
And then Houston's your Friday game. So I hope we can win the Thursday game, the Friday game against Houston. Whatever, you know, Houston's a buzzsaw. They're probably they're a number one seed going into the tournament. So,
yeah, I mean, they're going to be a one seed in the tournament, no doubt. I like to see us get one win and then play Houston close. Right. You know, I don't want to get blown out by them again. I would like to see what it looks like against them. On a neutral court, you know, instead of in front of their home crowds, can we play them a little bit better than we did when we played them in Houston? What does that look like? And are you able to compete with them? You just want to go see us compete, play good basketball. You know, whether you beat BYU or whoever you play in that first game or not, you know, as long as you go out there, compete, play well, kind of give yourself something to, all right, you know, we're heading into the NCAA tournament with a little bit of momentum or feeling good about ourselves. And not go out there and lay a complete dud.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like this team's kind of turned a corner here down the stretch of the season. Three straight wins to end the regular season, a win over number 11 Baylor. So we'll see what the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City has to offer for the Red Raiders. We're excited for that. And we'll be back after next week to discuss the Red Raiders Big 12 tournament trip. And then, of course, at that time, we'll know where the Red Raiders fall in the NCAA tournament. We'll preview that and everything. Excited. March Madness is here. It's my favorite sports time of year, my favorite sports tournament. And so excited to see what the Red Raiders can do. But before we get out of here, we have some Texas Tech baseball to discuss. So let's go over to Dan Lawfield and discuss what the Red Raiders did this weekend. All right, so it was an unfortunate weekend for the Red Raiders at the Law as the Texas Longhorns came to town for what will be the final time as Big 12 opponents, and who knows how long before we'll face them in baseball again. And the Red Raiders lose the series 1-2 to the Texas Longhorns. And well, it was kind of a frustrating weekend. You got blown out Friday night in a 22-8 disaster of a game where Texas just kind of destroyed your ace pitcher, your Friday night starter, and then bounced back Saturday with a nice 7-2 win. Kind of dominated that one, was in control of it, never really had to sweat that one out. And then today, the Longhorns win 9-7, a game where you led the majority of it, and then your pitching, which has kind of been the issue of the last several years, the issue this weekend, can't hold the lead. UT takes the 9-6 lead. You tried to battle back, were unable to do so. Dustin, your quick thoughts on Texas Tech baseball's unfortunate weekend and losing the series to the Longhorns?
Yeah, the Friday like blowout, the good thing about that is it only counts as one loss. And it's like we bounced back, had a great game Saturday, and then Sunday, yeah, you just let that one slip away. And that's kind of disappointing. Once again, our bullpen and pitching is not great for that whatever year in a row that we've brought that up and talked about it. That seems to always be our problem, especially in these games like Texas has tons of good hitters. They've had good hitters for years and years and years. So, like, we struggle against that once we have to – if they get to our starter, we got to go to bullpen. Like, Saturday we got, what, five innings out of our starter –
Yeah, I think he went through the sixth.
Yeah.
So turned it over to the bullpen in the seventh inning. And hey, they got the job done then. But that was guys that you kind of trust and Ryan Free and Josh Sanders. But
so that kind of is disappointing. That's a repetitive problem. It also just seemed like we left a lot of guys on base this weekend.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of noticed that Texas today in the Sunday game. They were moving guys around and getting them in. Whereas even on Saturday, we didn't cash in on all our opportunities with guys on base. Like, we're not moving guys around. We're either striking out or easy out to the infield kind of situations. Like, just not putting it all together out there.
Yeah, it was, you know, at least you got that win yesterday to kind of make it feel a little bit better. Getting swept would have been brutal. But, you know, that Friday night was such a bad game. It was cold, was out there for a little bit. UT hit that grand slam, and I was out of there. You know, Saturday, you played a lot better. I thought Matt Hewer was one of the bright spots for you this weekend. The freshman pitcher came out, and I thought he did a really good job, set the tone. Finally had, you know, your offense wasn't terrible this weekend. Like you said, there were some runs left on the board that, you know, some execution and some better at-bats with runners in scoring position. You'd have liked to see that, but you know, ultimately, it's just like what we've gotten used to. You kind of live or die by what your pitching staff does. And, you know, there's not a lot of names on this pitching staff that you really trust. Like, Trenton Parrish is a guy that we've seen for 3 years now. And, you know, you never know what you're going to get. You're either going to get an electric Trenton Parrish who can go out there and shut down the other team, or he's going to go out there and just give up a double after a double after a double like he did today. And so there's just not a lot of names in that. On that pitching staff that when they're pitching, I'm like, all right, I trust this guy to get us out of this jam or to get us through this inning cleanly. And that's been the frustration that we've had. That's been what's kind of held us back these several years is just not having consistent pitching. And so frustrating. You would have loved to see us get that win today, get the series win, but unfortunately couldn't get the job done. And so the Red Raiders move on. Still a lot of season to be played. Still a lot of Big 12 conference baseball to be played. They shift their focus to a home series, a two-game home series this weekend, Tuesday and Wednesday versus New Mexico State. And then they'll head to Waco this weekend to face the Baylor Bears. So, you know, big week to bounce back, get some wins, start feeling good about yourself, and then go win a road series against the Baylor Bears, and maybe go get a sweep, and maybe you'll be feeling much better about yourself come next week. And so we'll be back to talk about what happens to the Red Raiders this week. But that will do it for Texas Tech basketball and baseball this week. Dustin, before we get out of here, you got a final shot
for us this week. Yeah, some quick back to basketball stuff. The Big 12 awards for the year just came out.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Would you like to hear them?
I would like to hear them, yes.
So, Jamal Shedd, Player of the Year. That is no surprise, well-deserved. Also, Defensive Player of the Year, Jamal Shedd. And
not surprising either.
Kelvin Sampson, Coach of the Year, which, all right, first year in the Big 12 and come in and win. Great.
Dominated. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I was less shocked by them winning the conference than I was by Iowa State finishing second.
I think TJ should have won it.
I think so, too.
So,
even though, you know, I think Kelvin's done a fantastic job. I would just say expectations-wise, TJ and Iowa State totally outperformed where they were expected to be.
Hunter Dickinson, Newcomer of the Year.
Boo.
Jacoby Walter from Baylor, Freshman of the Year. That one's probably pretty easy.
Yeah.
And so, first team, any guesses besides Jamal Shedd?
Jamal Shedd. Kevin McCullough.
McCullough made it.
Hunter Dickinson. Yep.
Taman Lipsey.
Another Houston player.
Nope. Lipsey from Iowa State. A Texas player.
Going to be a guess. Dylan DeShane.
Yeah.
That's not that surprising. He had some pretty. He had a pretty good.
I kind of take issue with Kevin McCullough on there.
Yeah, because he didn't play like the last. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's my issue. Is like he didn't play most of the second half of the season. Like, I know we're not the NBA with a rule of that, but that should factor in to what he did.
And Kansas was severely disappointing.
Yeah,
this season I don't know how you have two Kansas players on the first team when they were such a kind of disaster, but
right.
All right. Hunter Dickinson was awful when he played us.
No joke. I don't really have any other problems.
I don't really know who would have put over them though. Like maybe Juwan Roberts from Houston.
He was a third team.
Second team announced. He was third team. Who was the second team?
Ray J. Dennis, Baylor, LJ Crier, Houston, Keshawn Gilbert, Iowa State, Manuel Miller, TCU, and Max Asmus, Texas.
Any Red Raiders make any of the teams?
We have two on the third team, Pop and Darian.
Okay, I was about to say, if Darian doesn't make a team, that would have pissed me off. Pop, too, would have been a little frustrating. I would kind of understand it, but Darian's been so fantastic this Big 12 season.
Oh, it would yeah.
be a... It would be.
I think you could argue he should be better than third team.
I would have guessed a second teamer.
Yeah, that kind of makes me mad. Joe got honorable mention, but so did like 50 dudes. So whatever to that.
Honorable mention's bullshit.
Literally, like Micah Peavy got an honorable mention vote.
Yeah.
Like, come Congratulations. On. But yeah, Darian Williams is on the newcomer team. I guess that's a thing. The newcomer team's pretty sick.
Team.
Ray J. Dennis, Keshawn Gilbert, Hunter Dickinson, Max Asmus, Darian Williams.
Damn.
So, yeah, besides, I think Darian should be a second, and McCullough, I don't think, should be a first because of his lack of playing recently.
Yeah. Yeah, I always think you should get penalized a little bit if there's many games that you missed. If it's one or two, I won't quibble with it, but he missed several.
Like, yeah, just because you're still averaging 20 points. Yeah, because you didn't play for five games. Other dudes were scoring points during that time. But yeah, there's your Big 12 awards for the year with Pop, Darian getting all Big 12 third team.
Yeah, not a lot to quibble with, but yeah, definitely.
Sure.
Definitely think Darian should have been a second teamer.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's been anybody as consistent, and it's hard to argue who's been more consistent of a player in college basketball than Darian Williams.
No joke. And in this kind of league, to be a undersized power forward doing what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Like, we were kind of joking about it at the game yesterday, but Jalen Bridges, the Baylor player, who
has the longest arms
Darian
ever.
Longest arms ever, but been in this league for several years, one of Baylor's best players. And Darian just kind of dominated him in that game.
He's bigger. Darian's a smaller player out of that combo.
Yeah, and Darian was by far the better player in that game. And I was kind of looking at it, and I was like, Bridges is like the past, and Darian's like the future. You know, they look like they kind of look the same with their hair. Yep. And but Darian's such a great, great basketball player. At least he got recognized. I would have been really disappointed if he didn't get recognized at all. But my final shot will be the Texas Tech track and field team will be bringing back a national championship.
Let's go.
To Lubbock, Texas, the second national championship trophy that Coach Kittley gets to add to his collection, his first indoor national champion, as the Texas Tech men's indoor track and field team got the national championship done on Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturday was filled with lots of wins. We got a basketball win, a baseball win, and a national championship. Not a lot of national championship trophies here in Lubbock, unless it's, you know, meat judging or chess or whatever else we're dominant in. That's not like a huge sport, but anytime you have a national championship brought back in a sport like track, that's pretty cool. You're the fastest. You got the fastest people in the country here at Texas Tech. And so shout out to Coach Kittley's team and what they're doing here and just kind of just building this powerhouse of a track program. And so now we get to outdoor season and we'll be, excited to see what they can do on the outdoor, see if they can bring another Big 12 title back home, see if they can make it a two national championship type
year,
for the Red Raiders. So shout out to Kittley, shout out to the guys for getting the job done this weekend. Proud of you guys. Happy for a national championship here in the 806. So March is upon us. Spring sports are happening everywhere. Women's softball getting the job done in BYU this weekend. Baseball, basketball, women's basketball season's over, but you know it's a busy time. Lots of sports happening. And so excited to talk about all these sports as, of course, basketball takes the forefront here with March right now underway and Big 12 conference tournaments happening next week. It's a great time of year. We'll be here to cover all of that and to make sure you are catching our thoughts on all of the games and all the madness. Follow us on Apple, follow us on Spotify, give us those 5 stars, 5 stars for the tailgate. If you listen to us on Apple, we always appreciate a review there. On social media, follow us on Twitter at @tailgate_talks. We also have Instagram and Facebook and a YouTube channel. So go follow us there. Thanks for hanging out with us this week, discussing the end of the Texas Tech men's basketball season, getting ready for the Big 12 tournament and some Texas Tech baseball and national champs for the Texas Tech track and field. We will be back next week. And as always, we will catch y'all.